So the Ravid, quoted by the Shittim Kubetzis, is of the opinion that Mitoch Shehutru Letzorach HaYochanan B'Shutunami, Letzorach HaYom Ksas, is also based on the word Lachem Lachol Tzarchechem, and it'll also be regulated with the limitation of Lavado, that is only Mutter. Let's say, how do you carry a talis to Shul on Yantav? How do you carry a machzit to Shul on Yantav? If there's no Erev. If there's an Erev, you can carry on Shabbos also. It's not a Malacha. If there's no Erev, how do you carry? So the answer is, it's Tzarach HaYom Ksas. But if you, so what do you do on Shabbos? The answer is Shabbos. You carry the talis before Shabbos. The Yantav, you could have also carried the talis before Yantav. So according to the Ravid, it would not be permissible to carry the talis to Shul on Yantav if you could have carried it Mebod Yom, if you could have taken care of it Mebod Yom. Because Mitoch Shut, Zorach HaYom Ktsas is only Mutter if it's Eif Shalasas Mebod Yom. That's what the Ravid says in the Shita Mukubetis. And Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say like that. Shulchan Aruch says you're permitted to carry on Yontif, even if you're permitted to carry a talis, even if you could have carried it in Mebod Yom. Shulchan Aruch says Lahokel, but there's room to be concerned over here. According to the Ravid, it's a real din. Yeah. What about to do a Malach on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif? So that says you're not allowed to. First the Yantav is Yantav Min HaTorah, the second the Yantav is only Yantav Sheni Shel Golias is not the Raisa. It's just the Machlekes, whether we had the Machlekes, whether Yantav Sheni Shel Golias is a Minig or a Din de Rabbanan. After the Luach was established, during the lifetime of Abai Verove, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael were still Mekadosh, the Chadoshim, Abishanim, as they came. And then during the lifetime of Abai Barava, that's when they changed it. That's when they made the Luach Kavua. So that's when the Rabbanim in Bavel had the Shaila, should we still continue to observe Yantav Sheni Shel Golias? So the Gemara says in the beginning at Beit, so Sholchem Itam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, Yizor B'minig Abaseich Medechem, that should still continue to observe Yantav Sheni. So Tosfos took the word Minig, Minig Abaseich Medechem, in the meaning of a Minig, a custom, that observance of Yantav Sheni is a custom. And Taisa says, and nonetheless, he said, Broch alachilas matzah, alachilas morer. So you see, you can recite a birchas ha-mitzvah when you fulfill a custom. And the Ran in Sukkah, Daf Mem Dal on the base where the Taisa says, we had it over here in Brochas, on Yud Dalet. Taisa talks about reciting Chatzi Halalam Hashchodesh. The Gemara says in the end of Tainus, Daf Chav Ches, I think, that reciting Chatzi Halalam Hashchodesh is only a minig that Rav never heard of. Rav learned in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yudan Nos. He never heard of the minig till he moved to Bovel, and he was shocked. It was a minig that he wasn't aware of. So that's clear in the Gemara. The Chatzi Halam Hashchodesh is a minig. Yeah, what about observance of Yantav Sheni? So that's the Machlokes. So Tosfos holds the Yantav Sheni is a minig. And the Ran says, no, that was the message that they sent, either they wrote or an oral message. Yizor b'minig avseich medechem. The word minig doesn't mean custom. The word minig means the practice. They should still continue the practice of their forefathers, of their ancestors, to observe the second Yom, but it doesn't mean that it's only a custom, it's a real takana de rabban. Before they established the Luach, when it was a real Sveika de Yoyma, when they were Mekadosh to Chodesh al Piyariya, so they used to send out Shluchim, and to the locations where the Shluchim lo higiu, they had a real Sveika de Yoyma, they didn't know when Rish Chodesh was. So when there was a real Sveika de Yoyma, so the Nitziv points out also, it was never real Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. The Haraya that they never instituted to observe 2 days Yom Kippur. And the reason we assume why is, Yerushalmi says, because people are going to fast 2 days in a row, 48 hours, and someone's going to get into a sakana. So they didn't even want to introduce 2 days Yom Kippur, B'negeti Yisra Malacha, tell everybody you should eat on the second day, and they should only abstain from Malacha 2 days. They didn't want to do that either because they're afraid someone's going to fast both days. Most people can survive if you fast 2 days in a row, but someone's going to go into a sakana. So they never introduce Yantav Sheni B'negeir to Yom Kippur. But if it's a real Sveika Deraisa, it should have been Sveika Deraisa L'chum. So in Nitziv, in his commentary on Chumash, writes there was never really, even when there was a real Sveika D'Yayma, it was never a real Sofik Deraisa L'chum. Because you have a right to follow Rov, and Rov, Pa'am, and Ruba, the Ruba, Ador, Hasamach, Lenisan, only has 29 days, And Elul very rarely, maybe never had 30 days. In Moshe Ezra v'Yelach Lamatzina Elul Miyuma, during the lifetime of Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah, it says that they observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, Elul had 30 days that year. But Gemara says from the days of Ezra on, maybe it never happened, and maybe it happened once every a few hundred years or so. Very rarely. So that's what the Nitziv says in Menat Torah. There was never a real Sfeika Diyam, even as Ban Shekitshal Pi Ariya. So before the days of Abai Verov, when there was what we call a real Sfeika Diyam, what was the observance of Yontem Sheni? Was that a real, it was not a Sfeika Deraisa L'chumra. The Nitziv says, was that a Takana Derabbanu, or was that a Minig? So Rashi in the first Perek in Beitza learns that that's a Machloikis in the Gemara. Rashi learns that's the Sugi has a Machloikis. And after the Sholchem Itam, after they established the Luach Kavua, that's the Machloikis Taisis in the Rat, where the observance of Yom Tov Sheni Bizman Hazeh is a Takana Derabbanu or Minig. What if a person violates Yom Tov Sheni? How do we punish him? So there's a question. Do you put him in Nidui for observing Yantav Sheni? If Yantav Sheni is a minig, it does make sense to put him in Nidui. If it's a Derabbanan, then it makes more sense. So that's a Shaila Aloha Lamaisa. Yeah, Mi'ikar Adin, whether you strike a match or whether you have a fire burning and you light another candle from the fire, it's the same Aloha of Havara, so it shouldn't make a difference. So if you want to cook some food or you want to keep warm, so it should be the same thing, whether you're striking a match or not. The Mishnah has a din, you're not allowed to be moiler esh mechorosh. You have to, even when you're permitted to do a malach of havara, you have to light a flame from an already existing flame. What kind of a din is that? So the Taz has always a difficult comment. So the Taz has a difficult passage where he writes, according to the Rambam, he gets the impression that it's an isa deraisa, because epshalas is mbodyom. They're very difficult. It's not accepted. We assume that to turn on, to light a candle on Yontif is only an Issa Derabbanu, because Efshel Lasses Mbod Yom is not an Issa Deraisa. So if you'll ask a non-Jew to turn on the lights on Yontif, that'll be considered a Shvuz Deshvuz. A Shvuz Deshvuz is also not permissible, but we pass on a Shvuz Deshvuz Mokha Mitzvah is Mutah. So let's say the lights are out in the house, and you're going to sit and eat in the dark. So if you can light candles from an already existing candle, fine. If you can eat in candlelight, it's fine. And if that's not enough, and you won't enjoy the yantif, you want to have a simchas yantif, so to ask a non-Jew to turn on the lights, we would assume is considered a shvuz de shvuz. But mokha mitzvah, that would be mutter, because we assume that moiladesh is not an isa derais, it's only an isa derabbanan. When they first came out with electric bulbs in Europe, there was a machlekes, so some of the gedolim thought that that's not called moiladesh, since the electrical current is flowing over there, so some of them consider that as if you're lighting a candle from an already existing flame. And that opinion disappeared over the years. It was not accepted. Baruch HaShulchan wrote such a tshuva, that to turn on lights on Yantav is not considered Moled Esh Mechodesh. But the din, every day there are people dying who never died before. What's the din if someone dies on Yantav? Do you bury him on Yantav? So the Gemara says on Yom Tov Rishon, we're permitted to bury people like the Amamim, yet get non-Jews to do the malachas, to dig the grave is a malacha of some malacha or another. What malacha is it? If you dig in order to plant something, that's chorish. If you dig a hole, it's chofer. What's malacha? It's chofer? Bona, probably. But there's some kind of a malacha. Then you're going to carry the mace, as I saw. You're going to heat up water to wash the body, to do the tara, that the heating up water is mevashel. You're allowed to cook food if you want to eat it. Someone wants to eat it, but here's a dead body. You're cooking water in order to wash the body. So that's not lachem. That's for a dead person. So on Yom Tov Rishon, the Gemara says you're permitted to do kvuras hameis ha'idei amimim, ha'idei nochem. And on Yom Tov Sheni, we even permit kvuras hameis ha'idei Yisrael. That's a big machlekes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Meiri in the Sefer Mogen Ovis. After the Ramban passed away, so the Talmidei HaRamban traveled to Talmidei HaRamban traveled to southern France, in order to learn by the Gedolim there. They didn't want to learn by the Rashba. Rashba, they were classmates of the Rashba. So they didn't want to learn by him. It was beneath their dignity. They would have done better if they would have stayed home and learned by the Rashba. So they came to Provence, which is in southern France, and there was big friction because they came with Spanish minhagim from Spain, and here they had different minhagim. So the Miri wrote a whole sefer magen avos to defend the minig, all the old minhagim in Provence. So one of the issues was on Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, when you bury Agde Amimim, on Yontav Sheni, they can even bury Agde Yisrael, is not only if non-Jews are not available. Preferable is that even on Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, you should also bury Agde Amimim. But if Nochrim are not available, then you even permit the Jew to do Malochim on Yontav Sheni Litzach Furus Ameis. Or would you say, no, it's more covered Ameis, that he should be buried Agde Yisrael, not be buried Agde Amimim. So even if Nochrim are available, on Yontav Rishon we only permit Kfur Agde Nochrim. The Amim Ben Yontav Sheni, we would recommend that the Gvura should be dafke done on the Yisrael. So that's a machlek. That was one of the issues that they had friction about. When you have Gvura on Yontav Sheni and Nochrim are available, should you insist on having the Nochrim do it, or should you insist on no? It's a more covered ames that everything should be taken care of by Yisrael. So the Mishnah Brura quotes this Magen Avos by the Meiri. This machlek, as Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, that this whole issue of burying meisim on Yontav Rishon Yontav Sheni doesn't apply bizman hazeh. He says the chachamim came up with these heterim not because they were interested in us fulfilling the mitzvah kav tikvarena by yomahu. You should bury the person preferably the same day that he died, if that's possible. But rather, he said that's not why they came up with the coolest. The coolest was because the body is going to decompose. It's going to be bizayin ameis. But Bizman said that we have a freezer, so the body is not going to be decomposing. So put the body in the freezer and don't do the kvura yantav at all. He says the din in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply anymore. In New York City, the Breuers people don't accept Rav Moshe's psak. They'll do kvuras, they'll do levais on the first day yantav and the second day yantav. In New York City, the Agudas Rabbanim made an iser not to do funerals, not on Yantav Rishon, not on Yantav Sheni. Not because of Rav Moshe's consideration, but because of a different consideration. I remember years ago when I was a teenager, there used to be funerals on Yom Tov, so we would walk. We would walk when we heard there's going to be a funeral. We would walk a long distance, and then other people would be driving in their cars. They didn't realize that you're not allowed to drive on Yom Tov. The Chevra Kadisha is allowed to have a non-Jew drive them over the bridge to bury the person in New Jersey. Okay. And then if there's no Jewish community there, which now there is, in Clifton, New Jersey, now there's a big Jewish community. But if there would be no Jewish community, so you're permitted to have the Nachri drive you back also. Now there is a Jewish community, so you can't come back. So that's, Rav Moshe held that it's not proper. Now Gurus Rabbanim made an issa that you shouldn't allow kvuras on Yantav Rishon, Yantav Sheni, because people are just going to do malachas unnecessarily. Yeah, what's the story with Mugmer? Mugmer, the Gemara says in the first parak in Ksubis, we learned in Brochus. They used to have a practice, we learned in Ketzim and Brochus, they used to have a practice that after Birchus HaMazon, they would have coals, burning hot coals, and they would throw spices, incense on top of the coals, and sit and inhale the pleasant smell of the besomim that was burning. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Why? Because the Gemara says, Hu l'bad yosa lachem, only dov ha-shava l'chol nefesh. Ach-ha-shi-yach l'chol nefesh. Ach-ha-shi-yach l'chol nefesh, Hu l'bad yosa lachem, only dov ha-shava l'chol nefesh. Why is Mugmer considered dov ha-shen l'chol nefesh? So Poshet Pshat is that more than half of the population doesn't go for the Mugmer. It's expensive. That's the Poshet Pshat. It depends what percentage of the population would go for this. Then the Gemara raises a question. So what about shechting deer on Yom Tov? It's an expensive proposition. So only the wealthy people do that. The poor people can't afford that. So the Gemara says, no, if the poor people would have enough money, they would also enjoy it. So basically, more than half the percentage of the population enjoy it. They just can't afford it. Perhaps that's the Poshet Pshat in the Gemara. So the Prima Godim, quotes of Pnei Yeshua in the third parak in Masech Shabbos, Parakira, who points out that there's a Tosfos there in Parakira who gives a different definition. He says it doesn't depend what percentage of the population enjoys this smelling the mugmer, enjoys eating the deer. It depends whether it's l'tainig or l'refua. Eating food is l'refua. People have to stay alive. So even if it'll be a type of food that hardly anybody would enjoy eating, but food is food. That's called echal nefesh. Masheinikain mugmer, burning mugmer, and smelling the pleasant reyach. That's only l'tainig b'yam. So whatever's only l'tainig, that's considered dobishen shavul chal nefesh. So the Pnei Yeshua writes, it doesn't depend. You see from the Torah, it doesn't depend what percentage of the population enjoys it. So in the days of the Pnei Yeshua lived in 1700, same time as Nadi Behuda. Nadi Behuda writes with big respect about the psokim from the Pnei Yeshua. Fahara zokin, by Yostin, Pnei Yeshua was known for his pilpul. He has pilpulim all the time. During his lifetime, he was known as a big paisik. And Rabbi Yonasan Ebeshitz was known for his pilpul. He was known as a big mefalpul. And each one wrote a sefer to show the world that he knows the other area also. So the Pnei Yeshua wrote a sefer on pilpul. So he went down in history as the big bal pilpul. But during his lifetime, he was known as a big paisik. And Rabbi Yonasan Ebeshitz wrote the Urim V'Tumim and the Crazy Placey. And so he went down in history as if he was a big paisik, but during his lifetime he was not known for his koyach hapsak, he was known for his pilpulim. So the Pnei Yeshua, during the lifetime of the Pnei Yeshua in the 1700s, they used to smoke. It was a different kind of smoking from we have today. And the doctors of their generation believed that whatever the form of smoking was that they practiced, that was a healthy practice, that helped digest the food. So the Pnei Yeshua writes, even though much fewer than 50% of the population smokes all year long, but since they're doing it l'refua, not l'tainug, so therefore it's considered oichal nefesh mamish, and it's not considered mugmer. Today it's the reverse, or I don't know today how many people smoke. A while ago, many people would smoke. Many, there was a high percentage of people who smoked, but the doctors would be the first ones to say that that's only l'tainig b'yama, that's not l'refua, it's not healthy at all. So according to the Pnei Yeshua's Tosfos, that's called dabshen shevel chal nefesh, to smoke is a real isim. Today, for sure, smoking on yontiv is a real isim there, I see, not allowed to. There's a Mishnah in Beitza that to heat up water is a malacha of mevashel. If you're heating up water to wash pan of yod v'raglav, to wash your face, that's permissible on yontav. But to heat up water to take a bath, v'chitzas kol aguf, that's not allowed. Why should it make a difference? Whether it's v'chitzas pan of yod v'raglav miut aguf, or v'chitzas kol aguf, why should it make a difference? So there's a machlekes harishayim on that Mishnah. So Tosfos is of the opinion that to take a full bath, that's not done for good health. Nobody needs to take a daily bath, a daily shower for good health. That was only done l'tainig b'yalma. So since it's only done l'tainig b'yalma, that's called dovashen ishtabel chon nefesh. That's why you're not allowed to do it. If that's the pshat in the Mishnah, so then today it's not so. Today people bathe very often because they feel that it is, it's not done l'hanoas aguf, it's done l'brius. That then it would be considered dava shavuach hanefesh. You'd be allowed to heat up water to take a regular bath. And then there's the Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. Ramban thinks it's not true, and he thinks it was never true what Tosfos wrote, that bathing is considered only l'tainig b'yalma. The Ramban thinks that it was always done l'refuah, and mitam. Should have been mutter to take a bath. But because the Chachamim prohibited bathing on Shabbos, because they didn't have private bath, people didn't have private shower or a bath, they had a public bathhouse. So the people who were in charge of the public, the Jewish people in charge of the public bathhouse, were not the most religious, they weren't the most intelligent either, they weren't the most religious, they weren't the most observant. So people would come to the bathhouse on Shabbos afternoon, so these Jews would turn on the fire on Shabbos afternoon. So the customers would ask, the fire was on the whole Shabbos? And he'd say, yeah. They would lie to them and say, yes, the fire was on the whole Shabbos. So the Chachamim knew that they're not telling the truth. Half of the time, more than half the time, they're not telling the truth. So they prohibited Rechitza Bechamen on Shabbos. They made an Issa, that's called Gzeiras HaBalon, the Gzeira against the bathhouse attendants. Balon, Beis Lamanun, is a bathhouse attendant. So you're not allowed to take a warm shower, a warm bath in the bathhouse, even if it's true that it was all prepared, Mibod Yom, no Malacha was violated. You're not allowed to on Shabbos. The question is, does it apply Bizman Hazeh? The bathhouse attendant is me. I have the shower in my own house. So Chacham Avadya follows those poskim that this Gzeres HaBalonim only applies if you have a balon. If you're going to a public bathhouse, so you don't trust the bathhouse attendant. But if you have your own in your own home, every person has his own shower, has his own bath, so there is no Gzeres HaBalonim. I think it's usually assumed, most assumed not like Chacham Avadya. They assume that this Gzeres HaBalonim, we call it Gzeres HaBalonim, but that's what motivated the Chacham to make the Gzeres, because the Balonim, the bathhouse attendants, were not so observant. But it's a Gzeres Rechitza B'Shabbos. A Rechitza B'Kamen is Osir, even if it's a private bath. That's what most assume, not like Chacham Avadim. So the Ramban interprets the Mishnah in Beitza that says you're not allowed to heat up water in order to wash Rechitza's Kol HaGuf. He says it's not like Taisa said, that it's Dovashen Shabbos L'chol Nevesh, that it's only done the Tainik B'Alm. He thinks that that was never true. Says the bathing Kol HaGuf was always lurifua. It was always done because it's healthier to keep the body clean. And the reason why they prohibited it on Yontif, because all the Gzeres that they made on Shabbos carry over to Yontif, even if the reason for the Gzeres shouldn't apply. The Gemara tells that you're not allowed to be Toivel Kalim on Shabbos, and one of the reasons is that you may forget to carry it in the street. The Gemara says you're not allowed to Toivel Kalim on Yontif either. The Gemara says, why? But you're allowed to carry on Yontif if you want to be Tovel Akli, you're allowed to carry it on Yontif with Tzorach. So the Gemara says, Gzera Yontif up to Shabbos. All the Gzeras that were made on Shabbos carry over to Yontif. So that's the question. Is one permitted to take a warm shower? So if you would accept Tosis Pshat in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontif to take a bath because of Dabashen Shabbos L'chol Nefesh. Today it is Shabbos L'chol Nefesh. Everybody takes a shower because they want to. It's for the good health. It's not only l'tainik b'alma. It's l'refuah. But the Mishnah Berurah sort of implies that one should be choshish for the Ramban. So that's the issue. So that's why many say it's not proper to take a warm shower on Yontif. The Gemara has four reasons why you're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim. So the final maskana is that it's Mesaken Mana. That's the final pshat. That's the way we accept. That's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the way you were saying. Until you get to that opinion, so the Gemara had three other opinions. So one of the other opinions was because of Gzera that he may forget and carry. So the Gemara says, so why is it awesome on Yontif? The Gemara says, any Gzera they made on Shabbos carries over to Yontif. The maskana is because of Mesaken Mana, so then it applies equally to Shabbos and to Yontif. You have a broken chair and you fix it, that's Mesaken Mana the same. Shabbos and Yontif is the same, that is correct. The maskana doesn't prove anything, but the Ramban quotes from before you get to the maskana. He says, you see from the Gemara that any Gzer that was instituted on Shabbos, even though the reason for the Gzer really shouldn't apply to Yontif, the Gzer carries over to Yontif. Not all melachas hamutar on Yontif with the tzorach ochal nefesh. There's a Mishnah in Pesachim that says that peres hanoshim in mashkin shezavu may not be eaten. Peres hanoshim, I have a tree, and every day some of the fruits fall down on the grass. So let's say some of the fruits fell down on Shabbos Yontif. You're not allowed to pluck off the fruits on Shabbos Yontif. That's kotzer, when you detach something that was growing from the ground. But if it fell down by itself, what's the problem? So the Mishnah says that there's a gzera derabbanan. Peris anoshrim, peris that fell off the tree, not allowed to eat it, because they have miyadla v'hitlush. They may enjoy the fruit so much, you may forget that it's Shabbos Yontif, he'll climb on the tree and he'll pull off the fruits, which is a malacha. Or mashkin shezavu, if you have grapes or olives, and somehow the juice oozed out by itself, You didn't squeeze it out, so you're not allowed to drink that juice. Zeresh Emma Yischot. He may enjoy the juice so much, he's going to forget that the Shabbos Yantar, he'll get carried away and he'll squeeze it out. So I understand on Shabbos, you're not allowed to pluck off the fruits, you're not allowed to squeeze out the juice. But on Yantar, it's Mam Shochel Nefesh. So Tosfos says, you see from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to do kotzer on Yontif, and you're not allowed to squeeze out the juice on Yontif. The question is, why not? So Tosfos in the beginning of Beitza quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the Heter of Echol Nefesh says in the Pasuk, right next to the din, Ushmata Mesa Matzahs. And when does Shmura Matzah, when does the din of Shmura Matzah set in? Shmura Mishas Lisha V'Yelach. When you mix the flour with water, that's when it can possibly turn into chametz. That's when you have to be careful. You have to watch that it shouldn't turn into chametz. So just like the Ushmarta Mesamatzis Milisha V'Yelech, so too Achashiach L'chol Nefesh is Milisha V'Yelech. So that's a big machlekes harishon. That's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. We only permit some malachas on Yontif, even though it's a tzarech L'chol Nefesh. You're not allowed to pluck off the fruits on Yontif. You're not allowed to squeeze out. A lot of people think squeezing out oranges on Yontif is literally Echol Nefesh. How can it be also? So that's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says a Peres on Noshem, Mashkon Shezavu, is also on Yontif and also on Shabbos. Tosfos has that big machlekes, but all the Rishonim, is that a din deraisa or a din derabban? So the Ramban and the Melchames and the Ramban and Chumash holds that it's a din deraisa. Melisha B'Yelech is a din deraisa. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Tosfos. That Kodem Lisha is only awesome in the Rabbanon, it's not awesome in Atorim. A big chunk of Hilchos Pesach, there are three simonim, Tov Mem Beis, and Tov Mem Zayin, and Tov Samach Zayin. Long sections in Shulchan Aruch are about Tarubas Chametz. Yeah, what's the story with the Tarubas Chametz? So the Gemara has a machlokes, the Gemara Daf Lamed and Psochim, has a machlokes, Reb Yehuda Nachachomim, where the Mim B'Mino is B'Mashehu, and Mim B'Mino is also Bottle. So Rashi, Rav Shmuel paskin like Rav Yehuda. The mim b'mina is b'mashehu, but that's only mim b'mina. The mim m'sheinu mina it will be bottle. So Rav, the way it says in the Gemara, Pesachim Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Rav says we should paskin chametz b'pesach ben b'mina ben shaloi b'mina is b'mashehu like Rav Kirav. What did Rav say? Rav said that because chametz is so chomer, there's an isur kares. So not only do we follow Rav Yehuda like all year long. Rav and Shmuel passing like Rav Yehuda, Mim B'mina B'mashehu, but on Pesach because it's so chomer, so we don't even allow bittul by Mim M'sheinu Mina, Ki Rav. So Tosfos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph quotes that Rashi and Chulin, Rashi other places says that din is like Rav Yehuda, that Mim B'mina B'mashehu, and on Pesach we made a gzera the Rabbanon Mim B'sheinu Mina to Mim B'mina because of the chomer of chometz, and the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi. B'kamim B'kamis, this Tosfos appears in a few different places. We don't pask like Rashi. We pask min min mina is bottle. It's not that it's b'mashu at all. But the Gemara says that min chametz b'pesach ben min mina ben shalom min mina b'mashu hu ki rav. The rav holds like Rav Yehuda min min mina b'mashu made a gzera on chametz b'pesach. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that the whole gear says incorrect. And the chametz is not b'mashu. Goodbye. There's no such din. And they quote the Shiltas, says that chametz b'pesach is bottle b'shishim, and they think Rabbi Hudoigon also seems to have had a different girsa. So the poskim say, the classical poskim say, if you have a big shasat chak, you can even tzarf this Rabbeinu Tam with the shiltas, with other, if there are other issues involved, there's room to be made. But under normal circumstance, if you don't have this big shasat chak, we really poskim the chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. If the chametz is nisarif kodem pesach, then we say it is bottle. But if the chametz was nisarif b'pesach, then we say that chametz b'pesach is b'mashehu. In Europe, there was always an issue. The nochrim would always, sometimes it was the nochrim, and sometimes it was the Jewish communists in different generations. So the Jewish communists didn't want to let the religious Jews observe the religion, so they used to throw bread into the wells. So there would be chametz floating in the well. And you had to draw the water from the well. So the in Shulchan Aruch, so the Rishonim discuss it, the Balei HaTosfos discuss it. So they said, the water would have tasted better, fresh water tastes better if it doesn't have chametz soaking in it. So So the tam that the chametz gives into the water is a nice tam levgam. It tastes delicious, the water tastes delicious, but it would have even tasted more delicious if it would not have crumbs floating in it. So that's called nice tam levgam. So what's taka the dinner, nice tam levgam? So in all treifas, if you have tam kiker, if you have, let's say you buy a treifa candy bar, you buy some treifa cookies or something, how treifa can it be? What does it have? Chazer shmaltz there. It has a little bit, way less than 50%. It has an ingredient that gives a little flavor there. So that's the din of tam ki iker. Even though it's less than 50% and it should have been bottled berayif, if it's nice and tam, and it gives a good tam, then tam ki iker it asas. But if the nesinas tam is lefgam, the food would have tasted better. It still tastes delicious, but the food would have tasted better without this flavoring for the non-kosher ingredient. So then the din in kol ha-tarkulis and nesin tam lefgam is muta. What about on Pesach? When you say chametz be-Pesach is b'mashehu, so do you, should you say that even nesin tam lefgam is also considered mashehu, or is it less than mashehu? So that's a machlekes, the mechaber and the rabbo, that's a machlekes harishayim. What is nesin tam lefgam based on? What is the heter based on? So the mechaber is of the opinion that nesin tam lefgam is muta. Sure? There's no din of tam kikir. It's not based on bittul. It's not based on bittul. Just like neveda sheni ruya lager is heter gomor. So nesin tam lefgam is heter gomor. And the ramo is machmer that nesin tam lefgam is based on bittul. The iser is bottled beroiv, it's less than 50%. Aye, but it's nice and tam, so nesinas tam doesn't count because nice and tam levgam. But you have to start off the whole story by saying that it's bottled beroiv. So since chametz bepesach is b'mashehu, so it can't be bottled beroiv. So that's a famous machlekes. What do you do? Rabbi Soloveitchik used to tell over this story that his family lived under the communists. They didn't live under the communists, they lived with Jewish communists. So the Jewish apikorsim, the Jewish communists, would throw the chametz into the wells before Pesach. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the Christians would throw the chametz into the wells to make it impossible for the Jews to use the water. And in the 1900s, the Jewish communists would throw it. So Rabbi Soloveitchik's father would tell the Balabatim, any well where they find chametz floating, they should throw in a bottle of ink. So gamli gamloch lo yeh. So they won't be able to drink the water either. So they'll know not to do that again next time. And he got away with it. They didn't kill him. He got away with it. It's pretty courageous. I don't think I would ever do that. Years ago, they used to feed chickens kernels of grain. And years ago, when they used to cook a chicken, they would cook the chicken with the stomach. All together, they would cook it. So sometimes if you shech the chicken soon after it ate its kernel or grain, the food in the stomach is attacked by the enzymes in the stomach. So if you wait long enough, there ain't going to be no kernels or grain left in the stomach. The enzymes will cause everything to dissolve. So if you shech the chicken soon after it ate the kernels or grain, the enzymes will stop producing, the body will stop producing enzymes. And then when you cook it, you're going to salt the chicken, then you're going to cook it. You're going to cook it with the stomach, everything all together. So what may happen is, this was a common occurrence, you're going to cook a chicken in a pot. Then you're going to find that there's a kernel of grain that was cooked in a pot with burning hot water, and it just turned into chametz under your nose on Pesach. So in some communities, they developed a minig, some communities in Germany and in Hungary, they developed a minig that on Pesach you don't eat chicken because of this concern. Because the chickens used to be fed the kernels of grain, and you may find out that you have this on your hand. If you shech behemoth, you don't cook the whole behemoth together with the stomach. But chicken, that was the common practice. Today, nobody feeds kernels of grain to the chicken. It's way too expensive. They feed corn on the cob. They feed maize. So the worst it can be is going to be kidney, so then the minig doesn't apply. Even in those communities where they had such a minig, the post Masera Chaim Oizas is such a tshuva, and there's a Rashi and Beitzer like that. We have a klal dovish of dominion tzoch min yirachal atir. Whenever the Chachamim make exeret the rabbanon for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, the exeret the rabbanon still has to be observed. Unless you have a min yirachal atir, unless you have a later bez, then it's going to repeal this exeret the rabbanon. But that's only so if there was exeret the rabbanon, a dovish of dominion. But if you have a minig, that started for a certain reason. You live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply. It doesn't apply anymore today. You shouldn't eat chicken. They don't feed them. They don't feed them kernels of grain. So even those who come from families where they had meaning not to eat chicken on Pesach, the meaning doesn't apply anymore today. This is a problematic taz. There are a lot of problematic taz. The taz didn't have too many svarim, so he came up with a lot of chidushim. Shach always quotes svarim. How did he have all those svarim? Nobody knows. Shach died at a pretty young age also. How did he have time at such a young age to read all those svarim? Nobody knows. So the taz quotes an idea from the Ran in Avodah Zarah that there is a din of Zev Zagoyrem is Mutter, Machlag Satanoim, whether Zev Zagoyrem is also a Mutter, so we pass on Zev Zagoyrem Mutter. So the Ran in Avodah Zarah says Zev Zagoyrem is Mutter is based on Bittul, the idea of Bittul. Zev Zagoyrem means like this: we have a din, not only are you not allowed to eat an ostrich, the Pasuk says Bas Hayana, you're not allowed to eat, what do you mean Bas Hayana, the female Vlad of a Yana, and a male ostrich you're allowed to eat. It's a non-kosher bird. You can't eat the male or the female. There are male and female, not just females. So, why does it only say basayana? So the Gemara says basayana refers to the beitza saif tamei. If the female yana lays an egg, so you're not allowed to eat the egg either. Let's say a pig develops milk, or you have an animal that's a trefa. It's a kosher animal, a cow. But it has a broken leg in such a way that if you shecht it, it'll be osav achilo. The leg is broken in a location where it makes the whole animal into a trefa. So the cholov of a behemoth tameo, or the cholov of a trefa, or the beitz of an oif tamei, or the beitz of an oif trefa, is osav achilo. That's called yotzim in ha'osar is osar. So that's a psukim you learn out from psukim. Yotzim in ha'osar, the Mishnah in the first perikim chorus has an expression. Yotzim in ha'tamei, tamei. Tamei doesn't mean tumme v'tar tamei, it means an oif tamei, or a behemoth tamei. So anything that's developed, the milk or the egg that's developed inside the body of an unkosher animal, is also not kosher. The Gemara talks about why are you allowed to eat honey. Honey is also developed inside the bee, so why shouldn't the honey be also? So Gemara has a whole discussion. Why is the honey mutter? The Gemara says, we know it's mutter because the Pasuk praises Eretz Avos Cholav Advash. So if the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, so you see that the Cholov is Mutter and the Dvash is Mutter. So you see that the Dvash is Mutter. Okay. But the question is why? So Gemara is a Holmach like Satanoim. It's a relevant Halach Lamais. So what if you have not a Yotzim and a Tomei? What if you have a Yotzim and a Tomei Umin a Tohar? Let's say in order to give birth to a Vlad, you have to have a Zohar and then a Keva. So let's say the two parents, one of them is a Trefa, one of them is not a Trefa. If one should assume that trefi or lettuce, that's a question in Metzius, but trefi or lettuce. So let's say you have a zachar habal nekeva, and one of them is a trefa, one of them is not. So that's called zev zegor. If a vlad could be born with only the mother, you wouldn't need a zachar, then it would be yotzim in atomi, like a beitza soif tomi, a zasar, a cholabay mitmei, a zasar. But in order to have a vlad, you have to have a zachar and then a keva. So what if one of them is kosher, one of them is not? Would you consider that Yotzim and Hatami because it's the Zev Zegar? So that's a machlokes, and we pass on Zev Zegar is Mutter. It's not included in the din of Yotzim and Hatami. So that's what the Taz, so the Ran writes in Avodah Zarah to explain a certain Havamina in the Gemara. The Ran is explaining a Havamina. It's Lamaskona, it's not true. That's what's difficult about the Taz. So the Taz has this comment that Zev Zegar is Mutter is based on the idea of Bittl. So he said, "But chametz b'pesach is b'mashehu." So therefore, we have to ask a zev zegar. So what's an example of zev zegar? So he says, years ago they used to feed just like they used to feed the chickens kernels of grain. So they used to feed the animals, the cows, the dairy cows. They used to feed them also kernels of grain that were sitting in water, and a lot of times they would be eating chametz. The kernels of grain would be mischametz. So if the dairy cow wouldn't have any food, it wouldn't be healthy enough to give off any milk. So if the dairy cow is eating chametz b'pesach and it's giving off milk, so the Taz considers that zev zegoyer. There's room to say that the chametz b'pesach is b'mashehu. So if you ask a mashehu, so you should ask a zev zegoyer also. So that's why years ago there used to be a practice that people would buy a lot of milk before Pesach, enough milk for all of Pesach. Because if the dairy cows would be eating chametz on the first day's Pesach, and then the company, the farmer would milk them, and then they're going to deliver the milk the end of Chol HaMoed for the last day's Pesach. So then you're going to have this issue. Maybe chametz b'Pesach is b'mashahu, and zevzegorim should be considered like a mashahu of chametz. So that's what the chumra was based on. It's a difficult chumra, because the Pashto says in Yerevdei, it says not so. Zevzegorim is mutar even by Avodah Zarah, which is b'mashahu. So that what the Taz quoted from the Ran, that was a havamina in the Gemara. But it's not l'maskana. Halacha l'maaseh is not correct. But many people had such a practice that they wouldn't drink the milk that was milked from the cows on Pesach if you don't know what they were feeding the cows, because they were years ago, they probably would be feeding the cows chametz on Pesach HaGoyish at dairy farm. They're probably feeding them chametz b'Pesach. Yet when we say the chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu, is that only b'lach b'lach? Or even b'yavish b'yavish. Lach b'lach, let's say a little bit of chaz hashmaltz falls into a big pot of vegetable soup. So, and you have shishim, you have 500 times as much vegetable soup as you have chaz hashmaltz, and when you drink the vegetable soup, it doesn't taste like the treifa schmaltz at all. So the din is that it's batal b'shishim. It's batal b'shishim, but every spoonful of soup that you're eating, you know, you're swallowing a little bit of chaz hashmaltz. It was distributed evenly in the pot of soup. So that's a chiddush. That's the gzeiras hakosav achar am lahatas, that isa becomes batal b'roiv. If it's less than 50% and it's not nice and tam and all taruas, then the din is that it becomes batal. So that's the din. The chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. The way we have the gears in the gemara, chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. But if it's a taruas of yavish b'yavish, means let's say a chametz digen matzah got mixed up with the two Pesach Dikematzes, and now they all look exactly the same. You can't tell the difference. You can't figure out which is the Pesach Dik, which is the Chametz Dik. So the odds are 2-1 that any given matzah you're going to eat is going to be kosher. So maybe that's based on Holchemacher Haroiv. Is that based on Bittel Beroiv? That you should say the Chametz Pesach is B'mashu, or they say no, that's based on Holchemacher Haroiv. The odds are 2-1 that any matzah you're going to eat is going to be kosher the Pesach. So maybe the whole chumre, the chametz b'pesach is b'masha, maybe shouldn't apply if it's yavish b'yavish. So we're machmer on that also. We say chametz b'pesach is b'mashahu, and even by yavish b'yavish. And then we're even machmer more. Let's say chametz b'erev pesach in the afternoon. Erev pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz min ha-Torah after chatzos, but the rabban they added on 2 hours before chatzos, 1 hour before chatzos they asked b'hanoah, and 2 hours before chatzos they asked b'achila. So let's say erev Pesach in the afternoon. Do you say the chametz is b'mashahu? So it's not discussed in the Gemara at all. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah points out that's machlik is the Rambam and Tosfos. According to Tosfos, chametz b'Pesach is b'mashahu is because of the chumra of chametz that it's karis. Erev Pesach there's no karis. Karis is only if you eat chametz on Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, chametz would be batal b'shishim. Masha'ini can, according to the Rambam writes that the reason why chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu is not because of the chumra of kores, but rather because it's a dovah she'esh l'matir, because chametz is only also for the duration of Pesach, and after Pesach is over, then the chametz will be mutter again. Yeah, the question is, but is that chametz shavu'la Pesach is also? So that's the Ramban asked that on the Rambam. What kind of, so you have to understand what they're fighting about over here. So the Ramah says that even though the Rambam's opinion seems to be the chametz be'erev Pesach after chatzos is b'mashu, we don't paskin like the Rambam. We paskin like the Tosfos. The chametz be'erev Pesach after chatzos would be bottled b'shishu, just not bottled on Pesach. So what happens if you have chametz was nesarev kodem ha-Pesach, and then Pesach comes? So do you say, since it was already in this bottle kodem ha-Pesach, so it remains bottled, or should I say no, that it's chozer v'nir? It wakes up again, or the word near doesn't really mean, Rashi writes, near, chayz v'nir does mean it was sleeping and it wakes up. Near means it's become stronger. Should I say chayz v'nir, that the chametz becomes us? So the Ramah distinguishes between yavish b'yavish and lach b'lach. He says, by yavish b'yavish, we would say chayz v'nir. Lach b'lach, he don't say chayz v'nir. This is based on a Rambam, Shittim Chervis, on the Avchav Gimel, that the Rambam seems to pasken against the Gemara. So the Kesa Mishnah quotes the Mari Kurkis. We have Hasagas HaRaibit on the Rambam, but the Raibit wasn't the only one who wrote Hasagas. The Kesa Mishnah every so often quotes Hasagas HaRamach, who also lived at that time, also wrote Hasagas. Then you have the Rikurkis, also wrote Hasagas. So every so often the Kesa Mishnah will quote the Rikurkis. So yes, the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara. So the Rikurkis explains how it's not against the Gemara. Lefi Maskanas HaGemara, the Rambam understood, Lefi Maskanas HaGemara, when you get to the end of the sugya, we distinguish between Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Lach. And to use the Gemara's language, by Yavish B'Yavish, they're both bottled B'Rai, by all other Isurim, they're both bottled B'Rai. By Yavish B'Yavish, we consider Kaman the Isay Dami, and it's bottled B'Rai. And Lach B'Lach, we consider it Kaman the Leisay Dami, and it's bottled B'Rai. What's the difference if bottled is bottled? What's the difference whether it's Kaman Isay and bottled, Kaman the Leisay? Gemara said the difference will be whether you say Chayzeh Benir. If it's Kaman Isay Dami, then you can say Chayzeh Benir. Kaman the Leisay Dami, you don't say Chayzeh Benir. So this Psak of the Ramah, that's what Abshalma Levilna points out. And the Ha'aris of Abshalma Levilna is in the back of the Mesichta. It's called the Cheshek Shleima. So he has very long the Sheh Ha'aris all the time. So he points out of Chariz Dav Chal Gimel that the Psak HaRamah, that we say Chayzeh V'Nir by Yavish B'Yavish, not by Lach Malach, is based on the Mari Kurkis's interpretation of the Rambam, that the Rambam splits between the two, that Yavish B'Yavish is Kemand Isay Dami, Lach Malach is Kemand Leisay Dami. The Shaila rarely comes up. Whoever has one, do you have a Taruvus or Yavish B'Yavish, Kodim HaPaz, what a Chomet Dikamatzah is going to get mixed in, the two Pesach Dikamatzah, someone's really going to think of eating it on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. You're not going to eat it, and he's not going to leave it for Pesach. The whole Shana never comes up. But on the books, they discuss that, yeah. What's the story with Kitnias? So the Rishonim already quote, a minhag developed by the Balei HaTosfos that you don't eat Kitnias on Pesach for various reasons, yeah. But what if Kitnias gets mixed into regular food? So you don't eat Shishim, it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rove is sufficient. It becomes bottled. But you don't say Tamgeek only applies when you're dealing with Macholas Asuris. See, Kitnias was exerted. So we don't even consider it Macholas Asuris Midirabbanan. It's a minute that you don't eat it. What is it? Based on the Kitnias story? So it's based on the Gemara Psachim we spoke the other day. Gemara Psachim and that Mem Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that in the Reish Galusa's home, the people running the kitchen were not the most observant. They were playing Jews. They weren't so medaktik and mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, "Oh my Rava! Rava was upset in the Reish Galusa, where they have not so observant people running the kitchen. You make a lot of chassisi. It's not a good idea. What is chassisi? So Tosfos quotes the Orach. That's the bottom Tosfos on Mem and Beis. Chassisi means kidneys." So that's the minhag developed, that even by the most religious families, we consider ourselves like the Avodim in the Reish Galusa's kitchen. We're not so medaktik, so we shouldn't permit the kidneys. But the kidneys, it's only a minhag. Those who have the minhag, it's only a minhag. And it's bottled b'rayv, you don't need shishim to be mevatlin. What exactly is included in kidneys? So you have different places in Europe that have different kinds of vegetables which they considered kidneys. Remember when I was in high school, the Rebbe that we had here in the yeshiva had learned with the Miri Yeshiva. He learned by Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik. He was very beloved by Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik, and he was in Shanghai for a few years. So he said that they were sitting in the Beis Medrash in Shanghai and eating peanuts on Pesach, and the goy who used to wash the floors started to say hummets. So he said, "Where's the hummets?" So he was pointing. So they said, "Where?" They were sitting and eating the peanuts. So he kept on pointing to the peanuts. So they said, "Where's the hummets?" Till he finally touched the peanut. And he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That was the first time they ever heard that there's anything wrong with eating peanuts on Pesach." So years ago, when I was growing up, everybody used Planters peanut oil. Even though no one in America would eat peanuts on Pesach, but everybody used peanut oil. Because Shem Kitnias, many are makel. Neretz Yisrael, Rav Kook, was Mekel, Shem and Kitnias, based on all the classical poskim. The minhag only is you don't eat the kitnias itself for the various reasons, but the Shem and Kitnias you can use. And the Badats almost crucified him because of that. So this minig of Kitnias keeps on getting stronger and stronger. Every generation, they keep on adding on more. So the minig is now, nobody uses peanut oil. Peanuts really shouldn't be Kitnias in the first place. And then the peanut oil should zichah be mutam. So the minig is now, nobody uses peanut oil. Why the reason no longer applies? The reason still applies.
In the places where they plant the kinyas, they don't plant the wheat. In some, but by quinoa, in some places, in some things it would have been relevant. A lot of things it's just not relevant. They don't plant it so close that it's ever going to come to 1 in a million that they ever put the rice, and they put the wheat in the rice. So, by the, according to that reason,
I don't know. Dain Grosnas used to be a dain in the London Bezin, so he has a tshuva in his sefer Leivarye. Shalos tshuvas Leivarye. That 1 year they prepared all the matzahs for Pesach, and then they realized that it was the wheat that they used to make the flour for the matzahs grew near a field of kitnias, and there were so many kitnias, it was like something like 5% of all of the flour that they ground up was kitnias. So the dinners, that is bottle bereif, okay. So they wanted to know that they have to tell the balabatim that they have to eat more than a kanzayis of matzah this year. Because every kazayis of matzah is going to have 5 or 10% of non wheat. So he discusses, maybe I say bittel beroiv, so maybe the kitnias has a din like chitim. Do you say that when something is bottle beroiv, can you say that a heter is bottle beisser, and if you eat a tarubis, you'll get malchus for eating a kazayis of isser. You only ate 3/4 of a kazayis of isser. 1/4 of the kazayis was heter. But maybe I should say, just like iser is bottle beroiv, maybe heter is bottle beroiv, and it takes on the properties of the iser. So he quotes that there's a big machlokes iser. We show him, shayla how we paskin la locha. It's apparently happened in recent years. Dain Grosnas didn't die centuries ago. He just died a few years ago.
When they sell the regular rice, it doesn't happen. Like, I don't think 1 million. It could happen maybe in the factories, but when they're selling to market, the regular kidneys in the bags, the bean, they don't get mixed up.
Don't know.
But the issue with the quinoa and stuff is it's processed on the same machinery where they process wheat and other stuff like that. That's the issue with some of the quinoa. Not so much in
maybe even if it didn't grow near each other.
Yeah,
it may be left over in the machine. Well, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, what's the din if you're visiting by Sfardim? Eating on Ashkenaz, he's eating by Sfardim. So let him not eat the kidneys. Okay. It's cooked together in the same pot as in the Sinas Tam. So the din is you don't need shishim. All you need is bottle beroiv. So if you're not eating the kidneys, the tam is going to be bottle beroiv. Let's say by mistake, one fellow called me up from Teaneck frantically on Chalamoid. He came home, he went to work, came home from the office, and his wife says, "Darling, look what I made you for supper tonight." She made corn on the cob. He's ready to divorce his wife. She made corn on the cob on Chalamoid Pesach. Kidneys. So I said, put away the corn in the refrigerator. There's no bayirah by matzah on corn. There's no bayirah on kidneys. Put it away in the refrigerator. Eat it after Pesach. There's no din chametz al Pesach. And for the kli, just wait till it's ein ben yoma. They made a gzera the rabbanon ein ben yoma. The ben yoma. If you cook treifas deraisa in a pot, even if you waited 24 hours, and the gemara says le'asa tara le'kaderabas yoma, the bli is going to be nice and tam legam. So the Nadi Bihuda holds that that's only by Anisa Deraisa. By Anisa Derabbanan, that's Xera Lexera. So you don't have to, even after 24 hours, you don't have to kasha. We don't follow that Nadi Bihuda, we follow the Shach. The Shach says, even if it's only, there's a two-line Shach, he doesn't prove it. He says, even if the Issa that you cooked in the Trefa Issa you cooked in the pot is only Anisa Derabbanan, you still make Xera Eina Ben Yom Ota Ben Yom, even though it should be a Xera Lexera. So the Shach says he's still making zer, but the Shach himself writes in the beginning of the second chelik yeredeya, what if you only cooked something in the pot that's also mitam minik? So if you wait 24 hours, a fartik, so then there is no gzeira ena bin yamot ben yamot by minog. So I told him just that he shouldn't divorce his wife. She's a tzadekis, and they should put away the corn and then wait 24 hours with the pot in the fartik. You don't have to kasher. If you're intermarried with Sfardim and you're invited there, it's not their chair, it's not to go. So that's not called the decision to eat there. It's not your fault. It's not called the Emavat Nisan L'chatchila. It's not their chair, it's not to go to the in-laws. So even if your meaning is that you don't eat kidneys, and they do, so you go and you don't eat the kidneys.
So if someone's not so close, they're not in-laws, they're just a stranger, but they happen to like this person.
So let them not go. Let him not go. That decision itself to eat there, that itself, the Netziv says, that itself could be considered a form of aim about the Nisal Chatchil. Yeah. We have an institution of Mechiras Chametz in order not to have to throw out all the Chametz. So we sell all the Chametz to a non-Jew. Then after Pesach is over, we buy it back from the non-Jew. Yeah, this is all based on the assumption by Halach Reb Shimon. The chamish over all of our pesach is only awesome with the rabbanon, a penalty because he violated by Rabbi Motzi. So chen to shal nachri, over all of our pesach will be mutter. If the din would have been like Reb Yudah, the chamish over all of our pesach is an isad derais. It wouldn't make a difference whether it was owned by a Jew or a non-Jew. But we don't pass like Reb Yudah. We pass like Reb Shimon. The chamish over all of our pesach is only an isad derabbanon. So we have this practice to sell to the non-Jew. There were those who complained that in Europe, there were a lot of Jewish farmers, so the Jewish farmers used to feed chametz to their behemoths all year long. So when it came Pesach, they didn't want to violate by Rabbi Matzah, so they sell the chametz to a non-Jew. They can't tell a non-Jew, please feed my animals chametz with Pesach, because then they're getting hanah from chametz. Not allowed to get hanah from chametz with Pesach either. So they had to sell the cows and the chametz to the non-Jew, and tell the non-Jew, make sure you feed the cows chametz with Pesach. But they weren't really interested in selling the whole dairy business to the non-Jews. After Pesach, they're going to buy it back. So the whole thing was just a ha'arama. The whole thing was a legal fiction, just in order to avoid violation by Rabbi Motzi. So one of the rabbanim sent a letter to the author of the Nesivas. How do you allow this? There's a gemara in the end of Shabbos that we don't permit ha'arama and dinim deraisim. As I mentioned, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to tell the boys in the yeshiva, and he said, tell the balabatim every year, they shouldn't rely on mechiras chametz for chametz bien, only on taruvas chametz, because we can rely on the rabbi natam that the balyavah by taruvas chametz is only the rabbanon. So by dinim derabbanon, you do permit harama, but by dinim deraisa, by balyavah, by matzi, by real chametz bien, you shouldn't rely on harama. So that's all based on the Gemara at the end of Shabbos, but the truth of the matter, when you look at the Gemara Shabbos, that's not what it means in the Gemara. The Gemara there is not using the word harama in the sense of a legal fiction. The Gemara tells a story like this. The Talmud Chacham had to get to the other side of the river on Shabbos. He wanted to see how his field is doing over there. But he couldn't walk across the river, so there was a ferry. But you're not allowed to take a boat. You're not allowed to go on a rowboat. So the ferry, every hour on the hour, the ferry would go across, and they didn't charge any money. It was the municipality took care of it. There was a guy who took the ferry across every hour on the hour. So the Talmud Chacham is not allowed to go on the boat and say to the guy, I want you to take me to the other side of the river. So he went on the boat, and he put on an act, they make believe that he's taking a nap. And then when it comes 3 o'clock, every hour on the hour, so the goy takes the ferry across the river. So then when the ferry arrives on the other side, Talmud Chacham makes believe that he wakes up. Oh, look, he's on the other side of the river. He makes it look like an accident, and he walks over to his field to see how things are doing. So he actually violated the Gzera de Rabban and the Ben Shot and Al Pnei Amayim, but he made it look like an accident. And the whole reason why in Shatan HaPnei HaMayim is Exeter Derabbanon, Shem Yisakon Chavish El Shayotim. So if the person is knowledgeable, if he's a Talmud Chacham, he knows what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. So by him, the whole reason for the Exeter doesn't apply. But you can't say that Talmud Chacham don't have to exert Exeter Derabbanon. Let's say if you write with your right hand, that's a malacha deraisa. If you write with your left hand, that's a gzera derabbanan. So Talmid HaChacham are allowed to write with the left hand because they know that they're not going to write with their right hand, so you don't need the gzeras for them. If you allow Talmid HaChacham to write with the left hand, so every time Dick and Harry's going to say, I know how to learn also. I was a classmate of his. We went to yeshiva at the same time, so I can also write with the left hand. So then next thing you know, they're going to write with the right hand because they're not going to pay attention. So all the malachas will be violated. So Talmid Chachamim, even though they know what's right and what's wrong, they know what's also what's mutter, they're not allowed to violate Xeris. But if they make it look like an accident, that's Haroma. Haroma, in the context of the Gemara, means that he's mamish violating the Xeris de Rabbanah, but he makes it look like an accident. He's knowledgeable, he knows what's mutter, what's also, so an Xeris de Rabbanah, you would be makel on that. But the Gemara is not talking about Haroma, a legal fiction. We call that the modern terminology. We call what's called, referred to in English as a legal fiction, we call that harama. That's not the harama that the Gemara is talking about. So the pashtus is that that Gemara has no relevance at all. Where do you have harama in the sense, in the Gemara, legal fiction? So that's a Yerushalmi. So the rabbi from Bechoch, who corresponded to the with the Nesivas, this is the first tshuva. And the Nachlas Yaakov. Nachlas Yaakov is a collection of tshuvas authored by the Nesivas and by his grandson. So the first tshuva is about Harama. So the rabbi from the church sends him a letter that the Yerushalmi says on the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni. If a farmer is paid his own Maaseh Sheni, he has to give Keren B'chomesh. True, the Gemara said in Brachos the Chomesh is not Miyakeh, but L'chatchil is supposed to add on Chomesh. Chomesh is 25% more. That's a lot of money. If it's worth $100, he's supposed to give $125. That's a big difference. So the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni says, Ketzed Maremi Mala Maaseh Sheni, Levdosa B'lo Chomesh, how can you save yourself the 25 extra dollars? How can you be paid your own Maaseh Sheni by only giving $100, only Karen? So the Gemara says, give $100 to a friend of yours, whom you know is not going to walk off with the money. You have to give the money with no strings attached. Give it to a friend of yours, and then have him be paid at your Maaseh Sheni. So the only time you have to be Maaseh Chomesh, if the farmer is the one who's doing the pidyon. But if a stranger does the pidyon, then you only have to give the Karen. You only have to give $100. You don't have to give the $125. So that's what the Mishnah says, Ketzan Marimim Mala Maaseh Sheni, you can't give away the Maaseh Sheni to the other person, and you'll be paid because Maaseh Sheni is Mama Gavoya. So it's ain't a nickname of matonis. You have to give your money to the other fellow. If he's not a close friend of yours, he's going to say thank you, he's going to walk off with the money. So if he's a close friend, so that's the way to do it. So Yerushalmi says on that Mishnah, Kate said, Marim and Malamai, Sushenu, Levdos, Malachomish, only here. In Dinim Deraisa, we only allow Harama and Pinyamai, Sushenu, Balochomish, because the Pasuk says, Brocha Ksivba. Because the Pasuk says, Ki Varechach Hashem Alakecha. Kilo suchosese, kibimim chaderech. Kilo suchosese, you had such a bountiful year, you had so much tvua, so much peris, so much tvua, it's going to be prohibitive, it's going to be so expensive to transport it to Yerushalayim. It's going to cost you more to bring it to Yerushalayim than the whole thing is worth. So then it says, v'sata kesev yadecha, be put on the money, take the money to Yerushalayim, then v'sata kesev baboka batzona bayayana bashecha, you buy So the Yerushalmi says, we only permit Harame not to fulfill a mitzvah deraisa of being Maisiv Chaimesh by Pidya Maaseh Sheni B'lo Chomesh because Brocha Ksibo, because the Pasuk introduces the whole story with Ki Yivarecha Hashem Elokech. He had such a bountiful year, such a successful growth, that so much grew, it's going to be way too expensive to transport everything to Yerushalayim. So only over here do we allow this. This is a legal fiction. This is legal. He's giving the $100 to his friend, and the friend is being paid. This is not harama, like in the case of the Gemara that his mom is violating a din. He's not violating any din. He's giving his money to his friend, and the friend is doing the pidyon. So Takad Halacha says it's a legal fiction, not illegal. So the Yerushalmi Taka says that we don't permit haram in other areas of halacha. So the Nesivah says we don't pass like the Yerushalmi. The Bavli seems to disagree with the Yerushalmi that we always permit haram. But he's not talking about, that's why it's problematic, that Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos where the Talmid Chacham went to the other side of the river, he made believe that he was sleeping on the ferry, the whole story. Gemara says we allow haram on dinam derabbanan, not on dinam deraisin. That's haram where he outright violated the din. He made believe that he's taking a nap. It wasn't really true. And he outright violated the din derabbanan because it's not even a malacha midrabbanan, it's only a gzeira. So if you're a tzurva midrabbanan, you know what's muta, what's asr, and you make it look like an accident, so you're not going to mislead other people. So we allow you to violate the din derabbanan. That's a chiddush. But that's not really the same as what we're doing. We're not really violating the din. We're using a legal fiction. It's not the same. Anyway, the practice is that from the days of the Nesivos that we do mechiras chametz. What's so complicated? What do you have to call a rabbi that the rabbi should sell the chametz? Why can't you sell the chametz yourself? So the Mishnah Brura tells you, look in the Ktzos and the Nesivos and Chashmish, but it's a long, complicated story. How do you succeed in selling the chametz to the non-Jew without giving it to him? I used to sell the chametz to my next-door neighbor. We used to have a carton. And Purim, I used to get a lot of liquor. I used to fill up a whole carton full of schnapps. And I would explain to my next-door neighbor that I'm selling him all the schnapps. And if he still has it after the holiday is over, I'll be happy to buy it back. There was nothing left. He drank all the schnapps right away that night. And he died from liver failure. Yeah. So if you give the guy the carton, if he pays for it, and he does a hakbah, then for sure he's kainah. The Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shlokish, where the Dvar Torah, when you're selling the talplan, Dvar Torah mois kainas, or Meshicha Mufureshes Ben HaTorah. When a Jew sells to another Jew metaltalim, not real estate, selling metaltalim, movable items, which kinyan works Ben HaTorah? Is it hakbah or is it ma'os, paying for it? So the Gemara says, whatever kinyan works when a Jew is selling to a Jew, when you sell to a non-Jew, it's the opposite kinyan. Based on that's the Gemara, the first daf and the second parak in Bechiris. The pasuk says, "V'chizim kamim kalamisecha, lamisecha b'chada olaka b'chada." When you sell to a Jew, one of the two kinyanim works min ha'Torah, either mo'os paying the money or hakboa, and akum to a non-Jew is going to be the other kinyan. So which kinyan works ben HaTorah? How do we paskin? So usually when there's a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shlokish, we usually paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, except for three cases where we paskin like Rish Lokish. So here, that's what Tosa says. This is not one of the three cases. So we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that by Torah, mois kindness. So by a goy, Meshicha would be kindness. Rashi holds over here, Rava says in the Gemara, Kro masnit the Messiah le Rish Lokish. There's a posik. That sounds like Rish Lakish, and there's a Tosefta. There's a Kro Umasnita. There's a Pasik, and there's a Tosefta that seemed to support Rish Lakish. So Rashi learns, Rabbi said over here, the din is like Rish Lakish. Rabbi Natam says, no, that's not what it means. It means Kro Umasnita, Mesaglele Rish Lakish Lechaira. Seems to indicate that Rish Lakish is right, but you can easily answer the Kasha, and we don't pass him like Rish Lakish. We pass him like Rabbi Yechon. So that's a Machlekes, Rashi and the Rabbi Natam. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? Do we paskin like Rish Lakish? So according to Rashi, that we really paskin like Rish Lakish, that Meshicha Mufureshes is Ben HaTorah, that's by two Jews, then if you sell to a goy, the goy pays for all the schnapps, and that's it. He paid up all the money, then he's kind of, according to Rabbi Natam, the goy, the kinyan by two Jews is going to be ma'os, and the kinyan when you're selling to a non-Jew is going to be with the hakbor. Or Meshicha. So if the Nochri both paid for the chametz and he picks it up, he makes a hakbah, so for sure he's kainim. But that's rare. Usually the rabbi sells the chametz to all the balabatim. The goy does make a hakbah, does not make a hakbah on all of the chametz. So the goy pays money for the chametz. But according to Rashi, the goy is kainim and not the goy is kainim the chametz because it's nikne be ma'os. Yeah, but the many Rishonim don't accept Rashi's opinion. So what other kinyan can you do to be safe to know for sure that the guy acquired ownership of all of the chametz? So usually we say the kinyan that works on anything and everything, l'kaim kol dover, the pasuk in Megillas Rus, is chalipin. So the goy is the koine, so be careful shal koine. The goy should give his handkerchief to the rabbi. The rabbi represents himself and all of his balabatim. He's selling all the chametz to the goy. So the goy gives a handkerchief, and the rabbi is makna all the chametz to the goy. So that should have been the solution to the whole problem. So the shach and the chosh mishpat raises an issue. Maybe we should paskin like the Ritva. Ritva has a chiddush that chalipin only works by Jewish people. Because the pasuk says in Megillas Rus, "V'zos lefanim be Yisrael." This was the practice for centuries by the Jewish people. Since it says "V'zos lefanim be Yisrael," so maybe it doesn't work by a non-Jew. So we do chalipin, we do kinyan suda, but we're concerned maybe it doesn't work. So in addition to that, when we authorize the rabbi to act on our behalf, to be the shaliach to sell the chametz, we have to authorize the rabbi not only to sell the chametz, but to rent our apartment as well. Why does he have to rent the apartment? Because he's going to make another two kinyonim by virtue of the fact that he rented the apartment, he rented the cabinet or the closet to the non-Jew. So if you have one room where you're putting all the chametz, you have a cabinet, a closet, so you can rent that karka, and then you can be makna metalplim agav karka. You can sell metalplim agav renting of karka. The Gemara says that's acceptable. So I rent one room in the garage. Let's say I have a room that I'm not using. So I rent that room to the non-Jew. If he wants to use it, he can use it. And agav, that room, I'm selling the chametz to the non-Jew. Sure? So you did a kinyan agav. So what's the problem? So the Tzais raises an issue that there's a Tzais in Bava Kamma in the first perek, where Tzais is of the opinion that agav only works with the Rabbanon. And since it only works with the Rabbanon, there's room to argue the point and say that maybe the Chachamim only instituted agav, that a Jew should be kind of another Jew. A non-Jew should be able to be kind of a Jew. Maybe they never made a takana the Rabbanon on behalf of the non-Jew. Maybe agav doesn't work. So in addition to the agav, we also make a kinyan chatzer. We are renting the room. Let's say we're renting the garage to the non-Jew. We have a chometz, and we have all the chometz in the garage. So we say we're renting the garage to the non-Jew, and he should be kind of with a kinyan chatzer, all of the chometz that's located in that garage. So you make two kinyonim. One kinyan agav karka. Maybe agav is the rabbanon, they never made it by the non-Jews, but then you have a kinyan chatzer. So kinyan chatzer works min haTorah. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Chatzer works min haTorah. So the Tzais quotes from the Birchas HaZevach, one of the earlier Achranim, way before the days of the Tzais HaChayshin. The Tzais quotes from the Sefer Birchas HaZevach that he came up with a wild chiddush that the Pashto says is incorrect, but we're chayshish for what he said. That the Gemara says, Chatzer works, is considered as if the Chatzer is a shliach of the Bala Chatzer. And since a non-Jew cannot have a shliach act on his behalf, so a non-Jew shouldn't be able to acquire ownership with that, of anything with the kinyan chotzer. Chotzer mitam shlucha is raboy, and shliach is la'akum, so the nochri shouldn't be able to be kind of with the kinyan chotzer. So that's what the Birchas HaZevach says. So the Ktzos and the Nesivis both say that they think he's dead wrong, 100% wrong. They're beferish gemaras and avodah zara. But the Gemara says he's selling something to the non-Jew, and the non-Jew is kind of with the kinyan chotzer. So even though it's a befevish gemara, the choshesh for what the Birchas HaZevach wrote, he probably forgot the gemara. The choshesh, what he said, said they don't just make the kinyan chatzah. So they make all of the kinyan. So what more kinyanim do you do? We make a kinyan ma'os, according to Rashi, the goy pays for all the chametz, that's his. And then we make a kinyan chalipin, so the goy owns all the chametz. But because Taisu doesn't agree with Rashi on ma'os, and chalipin the shach thinks, and the shach and the ritva hold, and chalipin doesn't work. So they make a kinyan chotzer, so the Birchas HaZevach think chotzer doesn't work. They make a kinyan agav, so they say so maybe agav is only the rabbanon, maybe they never made a takana for the dungeon. So we made four kinyanim, and we're still not 100% convinced that any one of them worked. Maybe all the four kinyanim don't work. Maybe the chametz is still mine. So we do another two kinyanim. So we shake hands with the non-Jew, and we assume that non-Jew is kind of kifi minig hasochrim. The Gemara has in Perek HaZeh Neshech, there's a kinyan that's called Situmto. In the days of the Gemara, if you would want to sell a barrel of beer to someone else, I process beer, I manufacture beer. So the way the Minig Hamdina was that when you sell it, you write on top of the barrel, this barrel is specially for Mr. Rothman. So even though he didn't make a kinyan on it, but the Minig used to be, when you write that on top, he acquired it. We consider mitam minig asochem that he's already kind. So in Europe, the minig used to be, minig still is in America, when you buy diamonds, so you shake hands, and that's considered a kinyan. So in Europe also, when they would clinch a business deal, they would shake on it, so the shaking hands was constituted a kinyan according to the minig abdina. So they would shake hands with the non-Jew. And they would say, according to the minig abdina, this should constitute a kinyan. So you shook hands, so what's the problem now? So the issue is, maybe the kinyan of situmta, maybe it only works with the rabbanon. Maybe the Gemara never explains whether situmta works with the Torah, with the rabbanon. Maybe kinyan of minig abdina only works with the rabbanon. And then again, if it only works with the rabbanon, so maybe they never made a takana behef of a non-Jew. And maybe if it only works with the rabbanon, then maybe you cannot solve the problem of bal yirod deraisa. Maybe it's only good if you'll have a din Torah, so the other party will win. But the truth of the matter is that the chametz still belongs to me. If we'll have din Torah, the goy will win, but maybe it's still my chametz. In addition to that, we say we want the non-Jew to acquire ownership of all of the chametz according to the laws of the state of New York. The state of New York, I think the law is in this part of the world, Din in the Malchus declares if you want to transfer ownership of real estate, of karka, you have to have a written document. You have to have biksav. But if you want to transfer ownership of metaltalim, movable items, there's no need for any shtar. You just, both parties agree, and the mekach is nikna bidvarm. By us, there is no such halacha. Mekach is nikna bidvarm, just by agreeing. But according to Din in the Malchus, there is such a din. So those are the fifth and the sixth kinyanim that we do. In addition to the chalipin and the ma'os, we do the chotzer and the agav, and it could be that all four of those are no good. So then we make the kinyan kifi minig hamdina, minig asochrim, and the kinyan kifi dina the machus adina, and there probably is no sheet in the world that all six are no good. There's a sheet on each one that it's no good, but no one who consistently would say all the six kinyanim are no good. The question, what if the rabbi only made five kinyanim? So b'di'evit is also good. What if he made four kinyan? B'di'evit is also good. What if he only made two or three kinyan? So that's a question. How many kinyanim does he really have to do? Many because he does all six, but how many are really ma'akev?
In the matter, a person has an apartment and they have a lease that says you can't sublet it, you can't let anybody else rent it, or unless you ask permission from the landlord.
Yeah.
And they may charge a fee, whatever. So you were renting it.
I don't think it's a problem. In Europe, they raised an issue that the government had a law that whenever you sell anything, you have to record it in the government office. If you sell real estate, here I'm renting the garage, and agav the garage, and kinyan chotzer, I'm selling the chametz. So he said, if you didn't, and the din in the machusa was, if you didn't record it in the government office, so the kinyan is not chametz. Or if you didn't pay tax, you have to pay sales tax. I didn't pay sales tax. So the din of machus was at the kinyan and not chal. So someone raised the issue that the Jews sell the chametz and they don't pay the tax and they don't record it, so the whole kinyan shouldn't be chal. So I think it was a Dibri Chaim. Reb Chaim Sanza said that it's self-understood. The government is only makbet on all these things if you're really selling it for good and the other guy's going to keep it. He was selling it, and then everybody knows we're going to buy it back after Pesach. We never made it Tanai. If we make a Tanai, the whole Mechiras Chametz wouldn't help. We would still be in violation of the value by Matzah. We never made it Tanai. But since it's self-understood that he's not going to keep the Chametz, so the government is not makbet. So the landlord also. The landlord doesn't want you to sublet the apartment to somebody else if he doesn't know who it is. The landlord's put a lot of things in all of the leases. They put in so many things in the fine print. They know everybody violates something in the lease, so whenever they want to kick you out from the apartment, they always have something against you. For sure you violated something in the contract. They know you're going to violate. They don't really mean it. If they want to evict you, so they know that they have what to evict you based on. But I don't think that's not a problem. Yeah. The minig by the Ashkenazim is that we don't duchen all year long. We only choose to duchen on Yom Tov. You have to be in a good mood when you're duchen. So even on Shabbos, when we don't go to work, but we're nervous about our parnos, on Yom Tov, we're more relaxed. So that's the official justification as to why we don't duchen every day. It's not really that the Kohanim are in violation. They're not mevatel the mitzvah. The mitzvah of duchening is only amar lahem. When the Yisraelim, when the tzibur requests of the Kohen, we want you to give us a bracha, when the chazan screams out Kohanim, and he's calling upon the Kohanim to give a bracha, so then if they're not going to duchen, then they'll be in violation. But we chose not to call upon the Kohanim to duchen all year long. So the Kohanim are not mechuyev to duchen. It's a difficult minig. Over the years, they tried to change the minig, and it didn't work. So we left it like that. But on Yontif, we do duchen. Yeah. On Yontif, in the days of the Tanoim, it says you used to duchen by Shachris and by Musaf as well, at the end of Chazaras HaShatz. In most places, by Ashkenazim, they only duchen by Musaf, they don't duchen by Shachris. They only duchen by Musaf, where in the Musaf Dikashman Esrei, it's a special Nusaf for Yontif. That's the Yontif Dikashman Esrei. You always daven Shachris, every day of the year you daven Shachris. Musaf is miyuchad for Shabbos and Yontif, so that's the minig. You only duchen by Musaf. Reb Shlomo of Vilna, we mentioned before, the Cheshek Shlomo, was the younger brother of the Reb Tzal of Vilna. He was the super genius in the family. Reb Shlomo of Vilna was a genius, and his older brother, Reb Tzal of Vilna, was a big genius in the family. So Rabbi Tzal of Vilna wrote a sefer called Reshes Bikurim. He was a kohen, and he felt this is his first book, and that's all we have from him. He never got past the first sefer. So he wrote a sefer, Reshes Bikurim, and learning, different things in learning. So one of the things is he writes that he visited Trieste, Italy, and when they found out he was there, they duchened every day there, and then they heard that he's a kohen, so they were mechabed him that he should duchen. He didn't understand what he mean, mechaber him, or the kohen duchen. Said, no, the meaning is that only one kohen says the bracha, everybody stands there with their hands up under the talus, and only one kohen says the bracha and says the psukim, v'recha Hashem yishmerecha, and the other kohen just stand there and they listen. Everybody's yotzeh with shemei kohenim. So he says he never came across such a meaning before, and he started to look through the gemaras, and he saw it, and he found out it's a beferish and mishnah megillah. The Mishnah that no one understands. And now we understand that that was the minig des manatanaim, that only they would pick out one kohen and he would be the one to duchen. Now we know pshat in the Mishnah. You don't allow shemer kohen. Why don't you allow shemer kohen? So He thinks that this minig existed in the days of the Tanoim, that you do allow you, one kohen duchens and all the others are just yotze the duchening. Then everybody's yotze with shemei kohen, just like we allow shemei kohen by mikra megillah, we allow shemei kohen by tkiya shofar and kiddush and abdullah. So we allow shemei kohen over here. So here proves of the minig, and the others were not so keen about this. So the Beis Halevi. Lived at the same time. So the Beis Halevi writes in the Sefer HaChumash, in between the Beis Halevi has Sefer HaChumash just on Bereshis and Shmos. So there's one blank page in between Bereshis and Shmos. So he has four paragraphs, each paragraph unrelated to the other one, on four different topics. He has one paragraph, he didn't want to insult Reb Shlomo of Vilna, so he says he saw in a new Sefer that just came out recently that somebody says that we allow Shemei Kohen by Duchening. So he thinks that it's not correct. And he says, because one of the dinim of duchening is that you have to duchen the kol rom. You have to say very loud. How loud do you have to say? Let's say the shul is till over there, and people standing in the back of the shul. So you have to say loud enough. The duchening should be said loud enough that all the people in the back should hear. If you have a shul that's gigantic, but all the people are standing in the front, so as long as you say loud enough that all the people hear the duchening, that's kol rom. You don't have to scream on top of your lungs. You have to say the duchening, the Hashem Yishmerecha, loud enough that everybody in the shul should hear. So the Beis Halevi Taina is that when it's based on Shemei Kohen, they don't say boom, they don't say anything. Only one person is saying the psukim, and the others are just keeping quiet. So that's a violation of the Kol Rom. The Netziv has his tshuvas, Meshav Dover. So he has, in the end of Chelek Aleph of Meshav Dover, he has a oris on Orachaim. siman by siman. Not on every siman, he has a little bit on Arachaim. So he writes, he does want to insult the Beis HaLevi. They were Korosh and Yeshiva in Balosh at the same time. So he writes a new sefer, just came out recently, just like the Beis HaLevi didn't want to identify whom he was attacking, Reb Shlomo de Vilna, Reb Tzal Vilna. So the Nitziv doesn't want to identify whom he's attacking. So a new sefer came out, and the author writes that you don't allow Shamei Ka'ina by Duchanim because you need Kol Ram. So the Nitziv thinks that that's not correct, and he quotes from the Mishnah Bikurim that the practice used to be the farmers who knew how to recite Arami Abed Rabbi would say on their own, and they had a table, they had a sheet that had Arami Abed Rabbi written in Rosh HaTevis. So whoever could figure out the Rosh HaTevis would say on his own. Whoever wasn't able to recite Arami Abed Rabbi, someone else would say for him. So what do you mean someone else said for him? And how was the farmer Yotze? So the Nitziv says that different Pirushim on the Mishnah, and some other Rishon, the Bar Tanur and others, so some of them say that the farmer would be Yotze, which in their Koina, someone else a Koina, someone else would say Arami Abed Rabbi, and the farmer wouldn't say a word, and he would be Yotze with Shemei Koina. So the Nitziv says, but the Allah requires in Bikurim that you have to have Kol Ram. Niso Amarta means Bikol Ram. So you see that it's considered Kol Ram, even though it's Shemei Koina, and you're not saying anything. It is considered, since the other one is saying Bikol Ram. So it carries over, it's considered Kol Ram. But he thinks that the Beis HaLevi is right. He doesn't say who. He thinks that this water is right for a different reason. He says that duchening is like offering a tefillah. And a tefillah, that's one of the three exceptions to the rule that the Ran in the end of Avodah Zarah, the Ran on the Rif quoted the Yerushalmi, that there were three exceptions to the rule, but we don't allow Shemei Koina. One was by Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. One was by tefillah, one was by eating. So by tefillah, you don't allow Shemei Koina. So duchening is the same as tefillah. Okay. So the Beis HaLevi and the Nitziv, bottom line, they both say the same. They think that you don't say Shemei Koina, but for two different reasons. He says the same reason why we don't allow Shemei Koina. It's not really tefillah, speaking to God. And here by the Bruch, he's speaking, Yivirechacha Hashem, he's speaking to the person. But the Nitziv says, just like by davening, we don't allow Midrabbanan. We don't. Minatari, you say Shemei Koina even by tefillah, and even by eating food, and even by Kriya Shema. But it's only the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Be'er HaVar, it's only Midrabbanan. So Midrabbanan, just like you don't allow Shemei Koina by tefillah, so you don't allow Shemei Koina by duchening. That's what the Nitziv suggests. The Soloveitchik family are descendants of the Nitziv and the Beis HaLevi. They're both, but they considered the Nitziv an outsider. He has the old Derech Halima, has a different style. So both the Soloveitchik family and Eretz Yisrael here in America, they say the same thing. The Nitziv didn't understand the taina of the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi said that it's a lack of Kol Ram. He didn't mean, that's not a kasha. What the Nitziv has from Bikurim is not a kasha. Here, by duchening, it has to be called Ram. All the people in the shul has to be loud enough. Everybody should hear. You need a tzirup between the one who's saying the bracha and the one on whom the bracha is going to be chal. If you say loud enough that everybody in the shul can hear, then there's a tzirup. If you're just standing with the hands like this, you're not saying anything, then there's no tzirup between you and the one on whom the bracha is chal. Just like you have to face each other, panim keneged panim, you have to, because you want a tziruf between the mevarach and the mizbarach, so you want that the duchening should be said loud enough that he should be able to hear. By Bikurim, Kol Ram is a different din. It doesn't have to, not that my amira should relate to someone else. I should say Bikol Ram, as opposed to, I'm talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm not talking to anybody else. Rabbanu Shalom hears when you whisper also. I should say it in a loud tone of voice. So if someone else says it in a loud tone of voice, and I'm Yotze with Shemei Koina, the Kol Ram carries over to me as well. But you can't say the Kol Ram carries over by duchening, because the idea of Kol Ram by duchening is not the same as the idea of Kol Ram by the Bikurim. Kol Ram by the duchening is that you want to have a tzirup between the one who's saying the bracha and the one on whom the bracha is chal. So that's what the family claims, that the Nitziv didn't understand what the Beis HaLevi was dining, and his kasha from Bikurim is Nishkin kasha. Anyway, more correct is you should really duchen every day. That's the more correct practice, you should duchen every day. We don't have the meaning is that we don't duchen every day. The Mishnah Berurah has a footnote in Siman Kuf Chav Ches where he quotes Rabbi Yankev Hemden in the Sefer Morak Tzia. Morak Tzia is Rabbi Yankev Hemden's Sefer on the tour. and the Beis Yosef. So Rabbi Yankov Emden always comes up with the wild chidushim that are often not accepted. So he came up with a chidush which is not accepted also. He thinks that duchnik today is only midirabban. Why? Because the Gemara seems to say in Masechta Sota, Perkelu Nemarim, that you only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonas Tzibur. So there's no Beis HaMikdash today, no Karbonas Tzibur, so duchen is only the Rabban. So the Mishnah Brura shows that he's not right. He quotes Gemaras and he quotes sources from the Sifra and the Sifrei that seem to indicate that duchening afilu bizman is as their rice. But the question is, but the Gemara does say duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. So even though he's wrong, but L'chari he's right. So Rav Soloveitchik said over a Keren Oira on Soita, but he said it over, he schmaltzed it up, and he explained it very well. So he said, just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too the Shulti Giborim at the end of Rosh Hashanah writes as a Tfilas HaYochid and a Tfilas HaTzibur. At the end of the davening, he says, Shmak Aleinu Chus V'Rachm Aleinu, Baruch HaTa Hashem Shemeh Tfilu, V'Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you should listen to our prayers. But then we say, V'Tayim Shem Lakeinu V'Am Chisol V'Sfilosam, he should accept our prayers. That's what we just said. Shmak Aleinu Chus V'Rachm Aleinu. So what's added by the first line of it say? He just said that he should listen to our prayers. Rav Soloveitchik explained, that's what the Keren Oira explains, that Shmak Aleinu is I should accept our prayers. Ritzu, it means he should accept our prayers as if we had offered a korban. So when a yochid, Davin Shmoneh Esrei, when he says Ritzei, he succeeds in converting his Tfilas HaYochid into a korban yochid. When Chazan davens and he says Tfilas HaTzibur, and he says Ritzei, he succeeds in converting the Tfilas HaTzibur into a korban tzibur. So when the Chazan finishes saying Ritzei, that's the conclusion of Hakrovas Korban HaTzibur. And it works Menatoira. This idea works Menatoira. That's quite a Mechudish Dika idea. Ritzei converts, and the minig is that we say V'sarev Halacha Seoseni Ka'olo Ka'korban, our tefillah should be accepted as if we brought a korban. We're simply spelling out what it says in Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ma'am Chisol V'Sfilosam. The piyut that we add on, V'sarev Halacha Seoseni, is saying over this idea that what enables us to duchen is the fact that we just succeeded in converting the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. Gemara says the Kohanim have to wash until the Sedaim before they duchen. So when you wash to eat bread, you wash to one joint. When you wash for duchening, you wash further. So how far do you wash? So Rashi's opinion is that when you wash for bread, you wash till here, till the wrist. When you wash for duchening, you have to wash till the elbow. Nobody washes like that. So we don't really hold like Rashi. We hold when you wash for bread, mikra, then you only have to wash till the knuckles. And when you wash for duchening, you have to wash till the wrist. So we have plenty of water today, so that's why the meaning is that we satisfy Rashi all year long. We wash for bread, or you wash not for bread. On Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're not eating bread, but you're washing when you wake up in the morning. We want to satisfy Rashi Sheet also, so we wash till the wrist. On Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, the meaning is you only wash less. Because there's an Issa Rechitza, so you only wash to the extent that you're Mechuyev to. So you only have to wash till the knuckles. But for Duchening, you have to wash really till the wrist. Tosis has a Sofik whether Tekev L'Netila Brocha applies over here or not. The Gemara says Tekev L'Netila Brocha with respect to Maim Achronim and benching Birchas HaMozen. Then the Gemara has it later with respect to Anatilas Yadayim and Hamoitzi in the beginning of the meal. So Tosis has a suffix, would you apply Tekev L'Netila Brocha? The Kohanim have to wash their hands immediately before they're about to duchen? No, they can rely on the fact when they woke up 3 hours ago in the morning, they washed the Netilas Yadayim. And that the Netilas Yadayim can cover for now as well. So because of the two opinions in Tosis and the minig, the practice is that they wash again to be machmer, but they don't say a bracha again. Because maybe they can rely on the bracha that they said in the morning. What if they had to go to the bathroom in between? So then for sure you have to wash again. So then you ought to say a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah says the minig is you don't say a bracha because maybe the requirement for a bracha only applies when you want to eat bread. Maybe the washing for duchening doesn't really require a bracha. It's a difficult svar. A lot of times the Kohanim don't realize they have to hold their hands connected, at least connected kisveim or higher. So that's a problem. That's me'akeh b'di'evet. Magen Avraham has two opinions. Let's say there's a shul where there's no kain. So they ask a kain who davens in the other shul at the early minyan, could he please come to their shul and dochen by them? So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, the kain is not mechayev to dochen twice on the same day. If he dochen by shachris, he dochens again by musaf. That's a takana de rabbanon. He's in the same minyan. He should dochen them in days of the tanaim. They dochen by shachris and by musaf. But if he already davened in the first minyan, then he's doing this minyan of faith, becomes a duchen, and it's not mechayev, not meratar, not in the rabbanon. So that's the Magen Avraham quote, that's the machlekes achrayim. Should he be cited bracha, shekedushana b'kedusha osu shalom, when he duchens, because he's not really mechayev, strictly speaking. The common meaning is that they do say a bracha, because the only rishon who talks about the topic interprets is the Meiri, and the Meiri interprets in the Gemara, that's what it says in the Gemara, that he said a bracha even when he would duchen the second time in the day. So that's the common practice. Okay, so Lineta, tomorrow is the last day of Shir. So we'll have to figure out some topic to discuss. Thank you.